The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results. What a word. James chapter 5 verse 16. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results. There is great power in prayer. James 5 verse 16. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results. Just now I'm going to play an old song, and I remember it so vivid as yesterday in the old Hatfield Church in Pretoria. The great Carmen from America came over and he had a gospel concert there, and that was ages ago. Well, Carmen has left the earth and has been called up to higher service and singing with the angels now. But Carmen sang a song over there in the old Hatfield Baptist Church in Pretoria way back, and I remember it so well. Nothing is impossible, said this prayer's lyrics, which he sang. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is out of reach. All good things will come to those who faithfully believe. When you see a mountain standing in your way, know that it will move for you, if only you will pray, because prayer can move a mountain. Prayer can move a mountain. And prayer can calm the raging heart of unbelief. For I know, says the song, when I go on my knees, God will move for me and prove that he can do through prayer. And somewhere there's a miracle waiting around the bend in the corner. How he's blessed you in the past. He will do it once again. You're not forgotten if you think your prayers aren't answered or being turned away. The Lord God's about to move for you, if only you will pray. I know that he won't leave me alone, says Carmen. And the song sings, the Lord has kept me safe until now, and he will show me when, he will show me how. And I know that I can't make it on my own, but with the power of prayer in me, there's nothing great that I can't be. No mountain high, no valley low, will change my mind, because this I know. Move, move in prayer right now, Holy Spirit. Beautiful lyrics. I'll play you the song just now. Carmen's prayer. There's a power to prayer. Yes, it's an often used phrase, isn't it? As we use the phrase so often, the power of prayer. Let's dive into James chapter 5 verse 16, which says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results. Perhaps we have heard it so often that the phrase itself, the power of prayer, it doesn't carry much power because we hear it so many times. It's one of those things people say just to fill airspace when they don't know what to say. Even many a times on air, when we don't know what to say, we'll use phrases to fill the air like, there's power in prayer. But do we believe it? Do we walk the talk? We may talk about it. We may even believe it. But how often do we tap into God's power through prayer? Prayer is all too often used as a sort of a last resort after one have exhausted all of our own resources, isn't it? However, that is not what God teaches in his word. And those of us who believe in God believe that he hears our prayers, but do we all believe that he answers them? That's the question. We believe that he hears our prayers. But do we believe that God answers his prayers, our prayers? Actually, he does, in his own way, on his own time. And it may not be exactly the answer you and I want. And we may wonder if he really loves us, if he really answers us. We believe that he hears our prayers. But do we believe that he answers our prayers? You know, many a time it's not the answer that we expect. Take, for instance, the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk wondered whether God really loved the nation of Judah, where the powerful were deeply involved in sin and corruption in the time of Habakkuk. They were oppressing the poor and the powerless people, and God seemed to do nothing about it. Go and read the chapters of Habakkuk. And in Habakkuk 1 verse 2, Habakkuk asks the following question: "How long, O Lord, will I call for help and you will not hear?" Isn't that the sort of prayer we say so many a times when we don't get the answer we expect in our prayer? And we join Habakkuk, as in Habakkuk 1 verse 2. "How long, Lord, will I call for help and you will not hear?" Because the people of Judah, they were deeply involved in sin and corruption and oppressing the poor and the powerless. You know, at some point in our lives, we may also have been asking the same question. God did answer Habakkuk, but it wasn't the answer he expected. God's solution to the sin and the corruption of Judah was to have them invaded by the ruthless Babylonians. Go and read Habakkuk. That was the answer to Habakkuk's prayer. But that wasn't the answer Habakkuk expected. Habakkuk, he complained and saying that God wasn't answering him. But in the end, we know it so well, Habakkuk acknowledged that God is sovereign. You remember what he said? He said, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and though there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign God is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." Habakkuk 3 verse 17 to 19. And perhaps you didn't know it because you didn't know the context of the word of the Lord in Habakkuk. That was the acknowledgement at the end of Habakkuk the prophet that God is sovereign. Because the answer that God gave to Habakkuk's prayer to help them wasn't the answer Habakkuk expected. God's answer was a solution to end the sin of corruption and trampling on the poor when Judah was invaded by the ruthless Babylonians. And then they suffered. That was God's answer, not the answer that Habakkuk expected in his prayer. And in the end, after kicking his heels, Habakkuk acknowledged God's sovereignty. "Though the fig tree does not bud, there's nothing left, no grapes on the vine. Though the olive crop fails, the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice. Be joyful in my God." This is not the answer I wanted for my prayer. The Babylonians, the ruthless nation of Babylon, took over Judah. Can it be? But that was God's solution. You know, the ways God answers prayer is generally throughout Scripture accepted that there are three ways how God answers prayer. It's a yes, or a no, or wait. Yes, no, or wait. Three ways. You can go and read Scripture. Generally accepted, there are three ways that God answers prayers. Yes, or no, or wait. Let's look into these. Yes. That's the answer we crave for when we pray, isn't it? A yes from God. And yet, it is always the answer when we ask God to forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Yes, your sins are forgiven. That's a yes to your prayer. Lord, forgive my sins in the grace of Jesus and in His name. Yes, your sins are forgiven. 1 John 1:9. Your sins are forgiven. All believers can testify to the many times God has answered our prayers in the positive, be it for help, to locate something. You're looking for something, you misplace an object, and the request to Him to step in during a difficult situation in your life. The request for healing or protection or whatever it may be, and God says yes. So that's one of the three ways God answers prayer. Yes. But there's also a no, when God says no to our prayers. And no is the answer we least want to receive. Nevertheless, it's still an answer when God says no. And we may not understand God's answer at that moment when we hear from God no. But in time, when looking back, we will realize there's a purpose when God said no to my prayer. The third way, says the Bible, practically, how God answers prayer is wait. It's also a very tough answer to receive from God, isn't it? When God says wait, you want to hear yes. Then you didn't hear no, and then you heard wait. As a third option, practically speaking, as the Bible teaches us. Wait. It's a very tough answer to receive from God. And when this happens, you and I need to remind ourselves that God is still in control and can certainly handle my situation. We so often forget this. In the practicality of praying, when I receive the answer for my prayer as wait, wait, very tough. But when God says wait, you and I standing firmly grounded in His holy word, you and I need to remind ourselves, God is still in control. My God can certainly handle my situation. You and I need to allow Him to continue working in whatever way God sees fit. We cannot go ahead of Him and try to do things our own way. Instead, you and I must truly be patient and wait on God's timing. Back to Habakkuk. Even though Habakkuk couldn't see it, God was working the whole time. He's doing the same in our lives as the disciples of Christ today. I don't know what you are praying for or about, what the situation in your life may be, but know that God is sovereign over all the details of our lives. And God indeed does answer prayer. God wants us to know that we are to pray. And He gives instructions according to 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which says, keep on praying, pray without ceasing. And pray without ceasing doesn't mean praying constantly, but being persistent and consistent in prayer. Saying, don't give up, don't give up. If you don't get the answer right away, don't give up. Does prayer work? Yes, it works. We read it earlier, James 5, verse 16. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results. The earnest prayer has wonderful results. Earnest and persistent prayer is essential, says the Bible. Whereas half-hearted prayer is self-defeating. A righteous person, by the grace of Christ, we are righteous. It's not that we are a sort of a Mother Teresa or a Billy Graham. We are righteous because, as 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. And then in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God took the sinless Christ and poured into him my sins. And then in exchange, he poured God's goodness into me, says 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. And then I'm righteous. And then I can stand upon God's word. In James 5, 16, the earnest prayer of a righteous person. The righteous person who prays earnestly and persistently, not half-hearted prayer, not being self-defeated by the situation. And we are righteous because 2 Corinthians 5:21 says God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. And then, in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. This is the message. There's a power, a great power, in prayer. I assure you, said Jesus in Matthew 17, verse 20, even if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move, mountain, from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. There's enough power to answer your prayers, may it be yes, no, or wait. There's a miracle prayer. Pray earnestly, consistently, persistently, and God will answer your prayer. You know, there's that beautiful song by Carmen, nothing is impossible, nothing is out of reach, and all good things will come to those who faithfully believe. When you see a mountain in front of you, know it will move. If only you will pray, because prayer can move a mountain. Prayer can stop the doubt, and prayer can calm the raging heart of unbelief. For I know when I go on my knees, God will move for me and prove what he can do through prayer. Somewhere there's a miracle waiting around the corner. How he's blessed you in the past, he'll do it again. You're not forgotten. You are not turned away from God. The Lord's about to move for you. And if only you and I will pray. And Carmen sings, I know that he won't leave me alone. The Lord has kept me safe till now. He will show me when. He'll show me how. And I know that I can't make it on my own. But with the power of God in me, there's nothing great that I can't be. No mountain high, no valley low, will change my mind, because this I know, move, move right now, Holy Spirit. Oh, amen. There are great powers in prayer.